Hey, good evening, folks. Welcome to the Strive, Seek, Find podcast. It's a winery edition. It's been too long. Forgive me. It's an excuse to run away with my wife, have a little fun, try something I don't normally try. So, today, I am joined by my beautiful wife, Amy.
Hi there.
And we are at, where are we at, dear?
We are at Kindred Vineyards in Caldwell.
For those of you outside the state of Idaho, Idaho has a booming wineries and region known as the Sunny Slope region. It is a lot of fun when you're under 6 miles away from 10 or 12 really, really good wineries.
Kindred is a fairly new winery, and it's off the main drag, so it isn't one that you'll drive past on the road out to Marcin as you drive down the Sunny Slope, but it is, it's not a far jaunt.
So what we're giving you tonight is one of the hidden gems of the Sunny Slope. We're just doing a tasting today. We are going to have a rosemary and potato pizza with it, but we're starting out right now with their 2021 Sunkissed Dry Riesling. Just to set the stage here, we are sitting right outside of the tasting room out on the patio, right next to the vines overlooking the valley. It is a beautiful May day. It was cold this morning, but it is perfect out here sitting in the sun, soaking in some rays, tasting some wine, while surrounded all around you is wineries and
farmland.
Not too long ago, this was not like this in the last 15 years, so yeah. This is a lot of fun.
This is a mom and pop setup, so the house is actually right adjacent to the shop, to the tasting room. And when you pull up, you actually park in the front and then walk around the house, down the drive, to the tasting room. And then the vineyard is right outside the tasting room. And so it's very homey. But the space is huge. It's got a huge venue. It's like a barn, and it has a lot of seating and a lot of tables, and they could clear it and have a dance floor in here too. There's a lot of possibilities for this space, I'm sure, for like an event. I could see weddings being out here really easily.
Just remember, if you have your wedding at a winery,
serve wine.
And now that we have kind of set the stage a little bit, and I've blathered on a bit, and it's time to get to a couple of dry Rieslings. Amy, you want to start us out?
So the first dry Riesling that we tried... the first dry Riesling, the Sunkissed that we tried, was in a stainless... Is that right? Was that what they said?
Yeah.
Aged stainless. And
so metal vats, basically.
Right. So the aroma was very, very crisp, very light. Everything that you would think would be a pear kind of flavored wine to be. Mm-hmm. So I don't notice, you know, a whole lot from the aroma. But when we switched over to the French oak aged dry Riesling, it smells like buttered popcorn.
I didn't get that.
Yeah, I totally got buttered popcorn.
I could definitely smell the oak, because that's the whiskey drinker in me went all in on that right away.
It's like, right?
Now we're speaking my language. The right kind of wood to age it in.
So with the stainless one, the flavor was really, really light and crisp and acidic. Definitely pear forward, apple forward, like you just took a bite out of a pear or an apple.
It was very fruity. It was almost, to me, it was almost cidery. It was delicious. It was something that at 95 degrees, you throw an ice cube in and go sit and drink it in the backyard.
Don't add ice.
but wants to.
I know. But it would be excellent chilled on the back porch. It would be awesome. And I can kind of see where you get the cider thing. I feel like it's a little more green than cider
there's
is.
There's no bubble to it.
Yeah, there's no bubble. There's, and I don't know, I'm not sure what to describe it as other than the flavor almost has a green edge to it midway through your swallow, and it kind of evolves as it moves through your mouth. The French oak one is totally different. I would never have guessed that they were the same wine, and just aged differently.
The same grape, the same year, the same everything, just put down in oak barrels.
Yeah, and this was, it just added a complexity. So the one that's in the French oak was really complex, very buttery.
I got a little bit of smoke off the front, which makes no sense, and just a little bit of wood off the finish, but it wasn't as light, it wasn't as crisp. It was complex with its mouthfeel. And I liked it.
Yeah. The first one, I would sip just by itself on the back step. But the second one, I'd really want like a salty cheddar or a salty cheese to go with it. I think that would go really well with it.
So this could be good for barbecue. If it's just a rubbed bar,
I don't know if I'd go that way.
Like a rubbed chicken. Like a chicken with this.
Chicken would be okay.
With a spice rub, then smoked, would be really good with this.
I keep going back to the cheese.
You doubt me on my smoked meats?
Never.
So if you had to pick one of those, which one would you get?
I would get the French oak because I'm a big fan of my sharp cheddars.
And I, of course, would get the other one because it seems like I could sit on the back porch with it chilled and with an ice cube, right in the middle of the glass and drink it and enjoy it. As the heathen, I will enjoy it immensely. But I like them both.
Yes.
And now for a brief Pete's interlude. They have their own wood-fired Pete's oven out here and a variety of pizzas they make fresh for you. Tonight we are having the rosemary and potato pizza, which is about stereotypical Idaho as you can get. And Amy is again stealing my wine that I have not finished.
And let me just tell you that French oaked dry Riesling is fantastic with this.
All right, I'm going to take
it. I've already started eating.
All right, honey. This is not a sort of pizza we've ever made. We probably should.
I agree. We do live in Idaho, after all. I think we should do some homage to the potato pizza. I think we could really do a wham-bam job on that.
Oh, please finish that phrase. What did you think overall?
I like it. It's delicate. It is not an overpowering flavor, which is great when you're tasting something because you don't want those competing flavors to kind of get in the way. But yet, it was fantastic with the French oaked dry Riesling.
They have the best crust I think I've had in the valley.
Yes, I would agree. In fact, we were in San Diego over break and we're really kind of disappointed with the pizzas that they offered down there, even though apparently that's supposed to be their thing. But
We chose poorly, is what I was told.
Right, exactly. So, but anyway, this one is really good. That's an excellent pizza.
I sense that we may be doing this a few times this summer.
Yeah, I could do this again.
So, now we're off to a different style of wine, dear. And for those of us who are more in the beer and whiskey end of things, and gin, and I probably should stop the list, otherwise people are going to come calling. But what would you like to tell us about?
Well, we are trying the Burger's Blush today. And they have two rosés on the list, and this is the one that's on the tasting list. So this is the one we did today. This is a Cabernet Sauvignon rosé. And one of the things that I've found in tasting rosés with my girlfriends is that rosés I prefer rosés that are from a single variety grape. So, for example, a Cabernet Sauvignon rosé is made from Cabernet Sauvignon grapes. I can't talk. But anyway, and so generally, if you like the grape that it comes from, you're likely to like the rosé. And so that being said, Cabernet Sauvignon is actually probably one of my lesser favorite grapes. And so I have some, you know, it wasn't my favorite, but this is ultimately a very drinkable rosé. It smells like strawberries. It smells like strawberries, but not like a full container of strawberries. You know, when you open the container at the store and you bring it home from the store and you open it up and it's full of strawberries and you breathe it in and it's, you know, like right there and in your face and your mouth waters. No, this is after the kids have gone through and eaten all the strawberries and you open the container and it's empty and you breathe it in and there used to be strawberries there. So that's the smell that I get from it. So kind of that empty container essence of strawberry at the beginning.
You're not saying plasticky though.
No, not plastic, not plastic. Definitely strawberry, very fresh, but just not, just very light, very, very light, delicate. And it tastes like strawberries. At least I think it tastes like strawberries. But again, it's very light. It's very light. It's not in your face.
It was very light. And even you noticed a little difference in my glass. I noticed it was a little bit effervescent.
I did try it from your glass, and I'm not sure why I got that from your glass and not from my glass. But it was almost like a strawberry margarita, kind of the back of the throat tingle is kind of what I reminded me of. And so it was a very nice rosé. It's a rosé that would, I don't know what I'd pair it with, but
nor do I.
The French oak dry Riesling was still a winner with the pizza, because we're still working on our pizza, and I think it, although the rosé went okay with the pizza, I think the French oak, hands down, was much better. So
I would agree with that assessment, but I would put the French oak as number two on what we've tried so far. And I really enjoyed that.
The
first light and crisp
one. Okay.
So right now,
this that one's be, in the winner for you.
This would be number three so far, but it's a good wine. It's eminently drinkable, but
yeah,
it's also
very drinkable, very pleasant. Yeah.
Tasty. It's just, I liked the other two better.
That's okay.
And up next, dear.
My mouth is full. Hang on.
Okay. I ambushed her.
All right, so we have the 2020 Legacy Cab Franc. The smell on this one is amazing. It totally reminds me of a grape bubblicious wrapper. You know, when you were a kid and you smelled that grape bubblegum and it just made your mouth water? That's what it reminds me of.
I didn't catch that. I really didn't. It smelled sweet, but I didn't catch grape gum for some reason. It's an interesting description.
Not like the flavor of it, like the smell of it.
What type of wine are we drinking now?
This is a Cab Franc, a Cabernet Franc. And so it's
definitely a red.
Yeah, it's definitely a red.
It's not a big red though, it's a lighter red. Is that a fair description?
Yeah, I think that would be a fair description. It's kind of jammy on the front, I thought, kind of sweet and smooth on the front.
And this is the 2020 Legacy is the name of the wine?
Yes.
And
coming out of the pandemic, this is a pretty phenomenal flavor to represent that year.
So how would you describe the wine itself?
So I was trying to figure out what fruit it reminded me of, and I really can't tell which fruit I would pair it, you know, not pair it with, but what fruit I get from it, other than, and I think you called this grape. It tastes very much like the grape.
In my defense, I may have been being a smartass since this is wine and it's
but I think it's accurate. So It's fruity and jammy on the front, but then it kind of gets, I use that description of it, the flavor turns more green towards the back. And it's interesting because as it moves towards the back of the tongue, it kind of gives your tongue that dryness that kind of makes then your mouth water. So as you take a swallow of it, you get that fruity jammy at the front of the tongue, and then it hits your taste buds and it makes the water spigots start up and it makes your mouth water. So after you finished it, then your mouth you want more.
Okay. And how I describe it is, it's a lighter red in my mind. My favorite red is a Tempranillo, which is definitely more of a heavy red, I would say.
I call it a salty red.
Salty red, okay.
I don't know if that's accurate, but that's what I'd call it.
But in this case, what I really like about this wine is how complex it is as you're taking a sip. It touches your tongue. It's very sweet, very open. Not unctuous, just very light and sweet. But as it moves back into the back of the tongue, you have this moment where you get just a little bit of sour. And not a bad sour.
Maybe that's the green I think of.
But it adds to that level of complexity of the wine, because it's not the first wine we had, which I really enjoyed. It was very much, this is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
This one is, you take a little sip, this is what it is, and then you take another sip and, maybe not. There's more to this wine, and mm-hmm. you continue to explore as you go.
It makes your mouth water, you want more.
Are you stealing more of my wine?
I might be.
Okay, true confession time. Even 3 or 4 years ago, much to my wife's shame, we'd come out to a winery and I'd either drink water, or if I was really lucky, they had a can of beer or a beer on tap. I would sit there and drink that while everybody else had wine. And somewhere along the way...
Thank you, COVID.
That changed. There was a little bit of it coming pre-COVID, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, there was a little bit.
I'd learned to like some reds.
COVID hurried it around.
It did. But what I've discovered is I am definitely a bigger fan of reds than whites. And
which suits my fancy. I always have reds on hand.
Yeah, I'll probably have to post another picture of our liquor cabinet so people can see your wine collection on the bottom.
Oh, no, don't do that.
It might have to happen. So this is a big change for me in the last few years. And the level of enjoyment I'm getting out of this, maybe because it's so exploratory for me, mm-hmm. I'm definitely not an expert, makes it a lot of fun. All right, so our last tasting of the tasting flight is the 2020 Moonlit Cello, a Cab Sauvignon that I'm going to let Amy really describe because she seems to be enjoying it so dang much.
Okay, so earlier I had said that Cab was kind of one of my lesser favorite red wines, although with a steak, Cabernet Sauvignon is fantastic. I love a good cab with a steak. But just to sip on, I have a harder time appreciating them. And so I'm totally impressed with this Moonlit Cello. This has the most delicious smell when you get into it. It's like crushed blackberries. It's a really dark fruit smell to it. And it's in your face. I mean, it's like a huge smell. And then huge aroma. It's probably more palatable.
Yeah.
It's not smelly. Okay.
You don't want it people thinking gym socks.
Right? No. It smells beautiful. It has a beautiful aroma. And the flavor's really smooth. I find it really smooth. And which is interesting because with the Cab Franc, we found it really changed as we moved it through the mouth. But on this one, do you get that?
This one just, I don't know. The only way I can think about it is describe it as one of the smoothest reds that I have ever had.
It is
eminently drinkable. It is very smooth, very jammy, very dark.
There's a light feeling of...
Yeah, it's not as heavy.
No, it's
as some.
It's a very light cab, and this would... I'd let this go to, if I had a nice tri-tip.
Ooh, it'd be really good with a tri-tip.
A tri-tip, and we open a bottle of this. I'll sit there and drink it while I eat steak.
Yeah, this would be really, really good with that. It does not have any of the green flavors that sometimes you get at the back of some reds. And it is not what I would call a salty red, like the Tempranillo that you like. That one pairs really well with red sauces and things like that, but I wouldn't pair this with that. The tri-tip would be an excellent pairing. It would be really good with that. This is also one I wouldn't pair with green olives. I would put green olives with Tempranillo in a heartbeat, although I know you wouldn't.
Green olives are the devil, not to be eaten. Run now.
However, this would be really great with mashed potatoes, and it would be really good with butter and with cheese and with some of those barbecue flavors. It would stand up well, I think, with those.
Is a bottle of this going home with you so you could test your theory this weekend?
Oh man, I have to choose.
Well, soon. Apparently there's still more wine to come, because while we finish the flight, Amy has her eyes on another rosé that she wants to try. So a bonus glass coming up in just a moment. So much for the bonus glass. Amy went over to order it, realized she hadn't picked up wine the last two times she was out here. Well, the last two times we were supposed to come out here. And now she is busily getting her bottles of wine to take home. So I think we're going to sign off from this very beautiful Kindred Winery. I'd encourage you, if you come to this area, to drop by and check it out. Until next time, folks, keep seeking your own brilliant future.
Hey, folks. Chance here. Thanks again for listening. Amy and I really enjoyed sharing Kindred Vineyard and Winery with you, and we look forward to sharing more of these Idaho hidden gems with you in the next few months. Remember, if you want to support the podcast and enjoyed what you heard, you can share it with a friend. Word of mouth is a big way to draw more listeners. You can leave a review on any podcast app. It would be greatly appreciated, because that draws listens. Or if it's your style, you can always buy us a coffee. The funds go directly towards books and other resources to help the podcast continue to flow. One final thank you, friends, and we will catch you next week.